We established this morning in the earlier hour that both the Old and New Testaments use the word revive. And in both Testaments, it means to repair, restore, make whole, or to give life to something. I like the Old King James Version word, quicken. God uses His word to give life to His people, to repair them, to restore them, to make His people whole again. Thank you, Lord. This is the meaning of revival. Revival is a season in our lives where God uses His word in a special way to damage, to fix the damage in our walk with Him, to restore ground that's been lost through neglect or disobedience, to make whole again those who are sick and diseased from sin, to give life to those who their relationship with the Lord seems to be waning, to repair us. The only question is, who needs revival? I do. I need revival. As you've prayed and as I've prayed for this week of meetings, the Lord brought this text to my heart for you. It's probably the most simple message that I've ever preached. It may be the simplest message that you've ever heard. I pray, though, that God would use it to repair us, to restore us, to revive us, to make us whole again. Would you join me in standing this morning in reverence to the reading of God's holy word as I read Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and verse 16. If you're ready for God's word, would you say amen?
Amen.
Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And let me read the first part of verse 16 again. I want this to be our focus. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Oh God, may we rise up again. Lord, I pray this morning that You would do what otherwise cannot be done. Lord, I pray that Your precious Holy Spirit would fill empty me to preach Your word, Lord. And God, I pray that two miracles would take place here this morning. I pray, Lord, that there would be the miracle of anointed, bold preaching of Your word. But secondly, a miracle of hearing. God, that You would quicken ears to hear and hearts to believe and wills to bend. And God, may You truly revive me. And God, may You revive us, repair us, restore us, make us whole again. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Would you be seated, please? I've entitled this message, Encouragement for the Just Man. And I'm just going to stick with the language the Bible uses, but sisters, I'm talking to you too. Encouragement for the just man. Here's point number one. Thank God a man can be a just man. Is that not good news? That's the gospel. What glorious news today that a man can be a just man. The text simply says, for a just man, tzaddik in the Hebrew. It means lawful. It means to be made right with God. Now, you and me, every one of us are lawbreakers. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet this text boldly declares that you and I can be just men and women. The Bible theologians refer to this as a declared righteousness. That's kind of the theme of the book of Romans. that you and I, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, can be declared righteous, even though we're unrighteous. We can be declared lawful, even though we are unlawful and have broken His law and are worthy of its penalty, death, Romans 6:23. The only way this is possible is through the work of divine imputation, which means to take something on one person's account and to place it on another person's account, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God hath made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. What happens is this. Isaiah describes it this way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. It's an old financial term, imputation. And what it means is to take something from one person's account and put it to another person's account. And through the cross, for those who believe, here's what the Father has done. He's taken all of our wickedness and sin and depravity, and He's laid it upon Jesus Christ. And He's taken the perfect righteousness of Jesus, and He's put that on our account, so that now, when the Father sees us, He sees His only begotten Son. That's what it means to be a just man. No man can stand up of his own accord and say, I'm just. We must be justified. We must be made righteous or we'll never be righteous. It is a declared righteousness that God, through Christ, is able to declare us something that we are not. Paul describes it this way to young preacher Titus. After the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 3:4-7. Paul uses Father Abraham as an example of what it means to be declared just, to be declared right, to have righteousness imputed to our account. In Romans 4, one of my favorite texts, Paul says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has something to glory of, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God counted Abraham righteous on the basis of his believing in the promises of God. God counted Abraham to be righteous and just, even though he was a lost sinner. And the same thing is exactly true for you. And the same thing is true for me. You will never be able to justify yourself through your works. You will never be able to be good enough. You will never be able to do enough good deeds to make yourself righteous before God. But if today you will repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Even though you're a sinner, even though you deserve the wrath of God, God will pardon you and count you a just man. Isn't that good news? A man can be a just man. Those of you here today who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have turned from your sin, and you have turned to the finished work of Christ as the full and the final payment for your sins. Those of you today who have surrendered and yielded your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, listen to me. You are a just man. You have been justified in the sight of Almighty God because of the work of Christ through His atonement. You are now justified. Brothers, sisters, think on these things. Think on these things. Oh, the thought today that a man can be right with God. Isn't that amazing? that we can be right with a perfect, holy God. Oh, the thought today that you and I, who deserve God's wrath, deserve God's punishment, deserve God's judgment, can go free through the work of Jesus Christ. If we stopped today and genuinely pondered this truth alone, we'd have revival. If we just pondered this truth alone, that a man, though a sinner, by God can be declared just. What good news. A man can be a just man. If you understand that, say amen. Isn't that good news? Truth number two. A man can be a just man and fall. Look at the text, brothers. For a just man, what? Falleth. Nafal in the Hebrew. It means to be overwhelmed. It means to collapse. It can mean to be overcome and fail. And the context affirms this. Look at verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. And then it says, for a just man falleth seven times. Here's a man who we don't know exactly what happened, but the wicked came against him. And I love the Holman Christian Standard. It says they laid an ambush for him. He had his dwelling place destroyed on account of the wicked. We don't know exactly what happened, but here's what we do know. Whatever the reason, the text clearly affirms that just men do fall. But it can equally mean this. It can mean to fall into sin. And it's sad, but true. Just men can, and often do, fall into sin. Men who have been justified. Men who have been declared righteous. Men who have had the atonement of Jesus Christ imputed to their account. Any man in this room today who is saved, that says he has never fallen since he was saved, is a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. Every single one of us who are saved must humble ourselves at this point before our Lord today and admit that even since we have been saved, we have fallen into sin. And this is why we are given verses such as this. This was not written to lost people. It was written to saved people. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. I quoted it this morning. It's not written to lost people. It's written to saved people. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Perhaps today you would say, I know I've been saved. I've been born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. I know that I've been saved. And yet you've fallen. If you're listening, say amen. God took that into account long before He chose to save you. God saved you knowing you'd fall. That's why He gave you verses like this, to comfort you. As well as to woo you back. As well as to call you back. This verse is not meant to excuse your failure or to make light of it. No. This verse it's meant to affirm God's great love for you and to call you back with cords of love. Today, if you've been saved, you're a just man. And today, if you've been saved and fallen, you're still a just man who needs to repent and agree with his God and come back to the Lord. Lot was living outside of the will of God in a wicked city called Sodom. And listen to the way God described this chapter in Lot's life. God delivered just Lot. It doesn't mean Lot's the only one He delivered. The term just Lot means Lot who was a just man. The way it reads is, God delivered justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and punishment. 2 Peter 2:6-9. Lot was a just man. Lot, 2 Peter, was a righteous man. Lot was a godly man even while in Sodom. He was the Lord's. And fallen brother, you're still the Lord's. And you're coming back. You just didn't know it yet. He will never leave thee. Never forsake thee. So that we may say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. Lot was a righteous man. And if you've been saved, you're a righteous man too. And listen to the last part of that 2 Peter text. God knows, He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And today, He sent you here to Glen Iris Baptist Church to hear this word. Just man, come home. It's time to come home. It's time to come back. God didn't justify you for you to live the way you're living. The one who justified you calls out to you this very day, come home. Is that not good news? That a man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. Number three, a man can be a just man and fall repeatedly. Look at the text. For a just man falleth what? Seven times. Brothers and sisters, do you think he literally meant seven? You think that's what he's saying? No. As a matter of fact, any commentator you read worth his weight in salt will tell you that the word seven here is intended to be an indefinite number. It's kind of like when the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times? Jesus said no to 70 times seven. He didn't mean 490. He meant forever. You just keep forgiving and you just keep forgiving just like you've been forgiven. Right? A just man falls seven times. It's an indefinite number. Some have said the number seven is the number of perfection. The point is this. A man who has been declared just by the Lord can have multiple failures throughout his journey to the celestial city. Man, I love Pilgrim's Progress. Outside of the Bible, it's my favorite book. How many times did Christian get off the narrow way? And how many times did God bring him back? And that's the mark of our sonship. He won't let you stray too far. He won't let you go too far. He won't leave you to yourself. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens and disciplines every child of His. And what's going to happen is this. If you stray, if you move from the path, He's going to bring you back. What good news! That's a mark of my sonship. That's how I know I'm a child of God. And the sad truth is that oftentimes brothers and sisters do fall, and many times they fall repeatedly. Peter denied the Lord not once, not twice, three times before the rooster crowed. Three times in one night. He failed his Lord repeatedly. And here's the lie of Satan today to defeat you. Here's the lie of Satan to hold you under his cruel cords. Well, you've sinned too many times. You've sinned too much. You've sinned too often to find your way back to Christ. It's a lie designed to keep you under his sway. It's a lie designed to keep you under his cruel reign and control. Notice here what the Bible says. A just man may fall seven times, but he's still a just man. And the good news is this, just man, just woman, it's time to come home. May the knowledge of this woo you back. May the knowledge of this melt your heart. May the knowledge of this call you back to the one who loves you. I've got some good news for you today. The great shepherd has left the 99 and he's come to find you. And today he's found you and he's throwing you over his shoulders and he's taking you back to the fold. Today the Father has taken and swept the floor and He's found you, that one lost coin, and He's rejoicing. And today the father looks out over the horizon and sees the prodigal son coming home. And he's killing the fatted calf. He's got a new pair of shoes and a new ring. He's got a coat to put on your back. It's going to be a celebration. God is a merciful, forgiving God. And you can't out-sin His mercy. And you can't out-sin His grace. A just man can fall. A just man can fall repeatedly. But here's how we know we're a just man. He's going to rise up again. Look what it says. For a just man falls seven times and conjunction, junction, what's your function? A just man falls seven times and this goes along with it. He riseth up again. It means to be lifted up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Can you sing it? Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, the Lord lifted us. That's what it means. A just man falls seven times and rises up again. It means the Lord gets us. He comes to us and He takes us and He lifts us up and puts us back on the narrow path to resume following Him again. It means to be strengthened. It means to be established. It means to be repaired. It means to be restored. Brothers, it means to be revived. Someone asked me, when you preach a message like this, are you not fearful that you'll comfort someone in their sin? Absolutely not. Let me tell you why. I didn't come today to preach to goats. I'm preaching to sheep. Goats will hear what goats will hear. If you're one of those people that sits here today and you think a message like this affirms you in your sin and it's not a big deal, it only proves you're a goat. Here's the way sheep hear it. Oh, God, you still love me? God, you still care for me? Lord, you still want me? Lord, you'll still take me? Lord, I'm still yours? Then I'm coming home. But goats just wander off and die. Here's the good news for the child of God. For every fall, there's a rise again. For every fall, it's a present tense verb in the original language. Every time you fall, He's coming. One day, I have four girls and a boy. You know, that's pretty a shock to my system having never, I had one brother and I'd never been around children. Boy, I got an education. I've lived in a girl's dormitory for years now. We went through a thing, you know, looking back, the things that seem so paramount and big when I was in the moment, I look back on them now and they don't seem quite so big. Maybe that's why grandparents do a better job. But I remember one time my oldest daughter was trying me, and boy, I got to be honest with you, I didn't tell her, but man, I was so tired. I was so tired of fighting. I was so tired of butting heads with her. But as Kayla and I set her down at that kitchen table where we had our powwows, amen, God gave me the resolve to look at her and say this, Emily, no matter how far you run, look around behind you. I'll be a few steps back there. I'm coming after you. I love you. You are mine, and I will not give you over. I'm not going to do it. As long as I have breath in my lungs, as long as I have blood through my veins, as long as the Lord God gives me the energy to put one foot in front of another, when you turn your back and leave us and leave our Lord, I'm coming after you. Multiply that times a billion, times infinity, and that's our Lord. Just man, you may fall seven times, but every time you fall, God is going to cause you to rise up again. Now look at this next point and the last one. Are y'all still with me? Isn't it good news that a man can be a just man? I love it when children say yes. I'm with you, preacher. I'm with you. A man can be a just man. And the truth is, hey, I'm just only because I've been justified. As a just man, I have fallen. I've sinned since the Lord saved me. By the way, he told the church at Revelation, who hadn't outwardly done anything wrong, that just because they didn't love him, you are fallen. Read Revelation 2. What good news today that a man can be a just man. A man can be a just man and fall. A man can be a just man and fall several times, multiple times. But every time he's going to rise up again. And here's the last truth. And you need to hear me. This is where the goats are separated from the sheep. Just men are different from lost men. Radically different. Just men are different from lost men. Look at it again. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. But, which in the language strikes a contrast, right? But, contrary to that, the wicked shall fall into mischief. Are you with me? Both sin, right? Both fall, right? But God calls one just, and he calls the other wicked, an enemy. I do believe it's interesting to at least note this, that the word fall, as used in connection with the just man, is singular. And the word fall, as applied to the wicked man, is plural. And here's the point. Just men can and often do sin just like the wicked man, but when they do, something happens. There's a limit. The just man has a father that contends with him. The just man has a father who rebukes him. The just man has a father who corrects him. The just man has a father who disciplines him. The just man has a father who calls him to repentance. And wicked men, no, they just go further and further and further and further into darkness and sin and wickedness and just continue on in their mischief, as it says in this text. The wicked man sins with no conscience of God. The wicked man sins with no worry about his soul or eternity. He's a wicked man. And it's his nature to constantly live in disobedience to the law of God. The just man may fall in sin for a time, but the master will always contend with his son, call him to repentance, and deal with him to bring him to the place of repentance again and following Christ. The wicked just persist in their wickedness until the day of final judgment. What did God say to Lot? The Lord knows how to deliver the just and to reserve the wicked for the day of punishment. Consider your being here today. There are a million places. You could be rushing to get out of Florida. Maybe some of you are passing through to get out of the way of Irma. There's a million places you could be today, but here you are. There are 66 books in the Bible and thousands of verses within those 66 books that the Spirit of God could have led me to preach today. But here we are in Proverbs chapter 24. And here's the people I'm preaching to. If you have accepted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the full and only and final payment for all your sins, and if you have repented of your sins, and if you have put your trust in Jesus alone, if you have called out to the Lord, save me, have mercy on me, a sinner, if you've been born of God's Spirit, by God's grace, you are a just man, justified by the grace of Christ. If today's sermon, if today's church service finds you not living like a just man, then this message is for you. Repent. Repent. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be whiter than wool. God doesn't want to reason with you today to condemn you and cast you off. God wants to reason with you today to restore you, to repair you, to make you whole, to revive you. What good news that a man can be a just man. Man can be a just man and fall. Man can be a just man and fall many times. But the mark of his sonship is that God always causes him to rise up again. So today, if you're away from the Lord, here's the call. This is the call of Christ. This is the call of the gospel. This is the call of the Holy Spirit. This is the call of revival. Up. Out. Come out of the pit. Cease to walk in the way that you're going. Turn to the Lord. Call out to God for mercy. He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And why would we not? Return to the Lord. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is told by evangelist, you walk this path and do not get off of it. You remember Mr. Worldly Wise Man? He comes to Christian and shows him a shortcut to the celestial city. Up Mount Sinai, the law, legality. Christian says, but the further I went up the mountain, the heavier my burden became until it crushed him. An old evangelist, amen? Old evangelist comes by and finds the weary pilgrim, a just man falls, and he fell seven times. And he rebukes him, not because he's mean-spirited. He reproves him, not because he's hateful, but because he loves him. And he says to them, get up, get back on the narrow path, and don't you stray again. And on behalf of my Lord and Savior today, I want to repeat those words. Just man, get up. Get up. Cry out to the Lord. Ask Him to cleanse you and forgive you. Ask Him to put you back on the straight and narrow path and begin once again, faithfully and obediently following your head, your Lord, Jesus Christ. How I pray today, just men and women, that though we've fallen seven times, today would be a day that we rise up again. Let me pray for you. You are a God who is abundant in mercy, rich in grace, slow to anger, ready to pardon, so willing to forgive. It's the lie of Satan that would say to us, our God is not good. He won't forgive. I've done too much. I've stooped too far. I pray light and truth would come crashing through and flood these souls, Lord, with the knowledge of their sonship, and that the Holy Spirit would bring us back to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the old doctrine of preservation. Thank you, Lord, for the old doctrine of perseverance. Thank you that you not only preserve us, but you cause us to persevere even after we've fallen. I know goats won't understand this, Lord, but your sheep sure will. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. I pray today would mark a day that we stop following the voice of a stranger and follow the voice of our sweet shepherd Jesus. To Him be all glory, honor, and majesty and praise. Let the church say amen and amen.